So let's go into the word. Hallelujah. I have a lot of prophetic words, and we got to come out of the entanglement of the affairs of the world. An average believer, the Lord was telling me this, the average believer thinks that his destiny is to get money, is to work. Is to take care of children, is to pay the fees, is to pay the bills. And the devil has been so successful to entangle believers in the affairs of the world. That is what an average believer's mentality is. Gather 25 believers and ask them what you want from God. All of them, someone will say, I want a breakthrough in my job. Someone will say, I want to get married. Someone will say, I need a promotion in my job. Their life is revolving around the affairs of the world. And when people speak like that, I'm not saying those things are wrong and you should not ask God for those things, but they are just entangled in those very things. They are not going beyond it. And the devil has become successful in entangling people in making them believe is that is your purpose, but that is not your purpose. Your purpose is something else, which is unknown to you because you have not went into the secret place. Because you have never kept your prayer request aside and gone. That is, secret place is not a closed room. Secret place is where you empty yourself. Hallelujah. Okay, any which ways, the Lord gave me. I was asking God, Lord, you know what? About the word that He gave me for tonight. And I was two, three times I asked God, Lord, are you sure you want me to give this word? Because I want to give a word that is prophetic to people, that speaks to the life. The Lord told me, no, you teach this word to them. And only through that I want to teach them and speak to them. So let's go to the word of God. Numbers chapter number 20. Numbers chapter number 20, verse number 7 to 12. Numbers chapter number 20, verse number 7 to 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes. Underline that instruction. Speak to the rock before their eyes. And it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water? Underline that. Must we bring water for you out of the rock? So underline that whole questionary statement. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice. Underline struck the rock twice. These are the important statements that will open the revelation of the scripture. Struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. You need to underline that. To hallow me in the eyes, before the eyes, or in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Ah. If you read that word, you will say, Oh, you know what? Moses, he labored so much. He labored so much. He went through so much for the service of the Lord. And here is God disqualifying him to go into the promised land for which he labored. For which he labored for around 40 years, 30, 40 years. Hallelujah. Here is God not allowing him, because at the edge of the promised land, when all the Israel people died who rebelled against God, it was 40 years, and Moses again went and requested God that God, you have started to show your greatness. Because at that time, when they were going to cross the border, going to Canaan, before going to Canaan, they were in the plains of Moab, on the borders of Moab, and defeating some kings, the king Sihon and Sihon and King Og. And Moses started to see the manifested power of God defeating nations. At that time, Moses asked the Lord, "Lord, please, I have started to see your victory now after so much of labor. Please let me go." And God said, "Don't speak to me about it." What was my question to you is, what went wrong that God did not allow Moses? You people say, because Moses was angry. No. It's something more than anger. I want to show you from, I don't have time, but you search the scriptures, read the book of Numbers, read the book of Exodus. This is not the first time Moses got angry. Moses was angry even before that. One of the scripture I want to show you, Moses was angry, Numbers chapter number 16. Listen to me. Numbers chapter number 16, verse number 15. Then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken any donkey from them, nor I have hurt one of them." He was angry with Dathan and Eliab. We saw the rebellion of Korah. In that, he was angry with them. But he was not disqualified for getting. Anger is not the reason. People who say, "Oh, you know what? I heard a lady teacher teaching people, you know what? God loves his people." And because Moses did not treat God's people with love, God did not allow Moses. Oh, you know what? God was already pissed off with those people. God was already pissed off. Moses' disqualification was not anger, but something else. It was something else. It was something else that God himself could not allow him to go into the promised land. Because if that man Moses went into the promised land, he would have disrupted the purposes of God in the next season. So God had to kill him before he went there. But remember, he was disqualified from going to the promised land. He was not disqualified as the servant of the Lord. God did not disqualify. "You are not my servant. I disqualify." No, he was just disqualified to get into the next season. What is the reason? That is what I want to ask you. Okay, first, before going into that revelation, let us go into some more scripture. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 3. Open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter number 3, verse 23 to 26. Deuteronomy chapter number 3, verse 23 to 26. Listen to this now. Now, this scripture, this chapter that we are reading, I told you, Israel was just going to step into the promised land after all the people who rebelled against God in Kadesh, because they said, "We want to go back to Egypt. The people of the land that we are going in are giants. We are grasshoppers." Remember that? Numbers chapter number 13. So they rebelled. They said, "We don't," and that is the time God said, "These are rebellious people." And from Kadesh, you see, the journey of Israel. Now, I don't have a bow to explain you, but look at my fingers. Look at the points. Here is Egypt. Here is Egypt. And here is Canaan. Now, for God to take them to the promised land, there was a way directly, straight way, like this. And that was the way of the Philistines. But God did not take them through that way. You know why? Because people of Israel, before they step into the promised land, they have to be ready to take part of the blessing. So, in order to test them, that are they ready for the promise that I want to give you, God took them southwards through the Red Sea. And they went through the wilderness of Sin, of Rephidim, and all those things. And listen to me, here they came. So this is the route, but they came from here, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this. And then they came to Kadesh, here, southward of Canaan, on the other side of Jordan. Okay? So they came to Kadesh. In Kadesh, the people of Israel Moses sent spies into the land, and the spies brought a report which was negative. So in Kadesh here, they rebelled against God. Look at me. Okay. In Kadesh, they rebelled against. Here is Canaan. It was just a matter of some months or years they would reach Canaan. But here they said, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. So God said, and Moses pleaded there. So God said, you all these people who have rebelled, this generation will die in this desert. So just at the edge of the promised land, God said, they will wander. So from Kadesh, God did not let them to Canaan. From Kadesh, God again made them to take a downward route to the road of the Red Sea. They take a downward route, and there they wandered before the promised land. From Kadesh till the valley of Zered, here is again the valley of Zered. It took 38 years from them to travel from that place to that place because of the rebellion. And when they came after 38 years, I don't have, it's in Deuteronomy chapter number 2, verse 14. Okay. So I don't have time to go into those things. But when they came to the valley of Zered, God and all the people who rebelled against God, they were destroyed in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness, and a new generation came up. Moses was still alive that time. And God started to lead his people of Israel to conquer some nations which was on this side of the Jordan. And Moses started to see the manifested victory of God. So this is Deuteronomy chapter number 3. Okay, are you guys with me? Stay with me. Listen to me very carefully. Deuteronomy chapter number 3 and verse number 23. So after seeing all this victory that God is giving, Moses pleaded with the Lord at that time saying, this is the time. So I explained you what is the time. He pleaded with the Lord at that time saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. Moses is requesting, God, after so much of labor, I have started to see your victory, and it's time for us to go into the promised land. Could you please allow me, God? Moses requesting God. This man, Moses, is the one who pleaded with God, and God never said no to him whenever he pleaded with God. You see that? Pleasant mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me, so that the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. God. Enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. This intercessor who God would do business with and listen to him. Why is God so hurted, or why is God so serious about the sin he committed in Kadesh and would not even now allow Moses when he's requesting? What is the sin? It cannot be anger. Yeah, he was angry, but there was something else that God would never approve his request, even though he pleaded with God. God, please let me go. I want to see the Lebanon. I want to see the land for which I labor to lead these people. Please let me go. God said, don't speak to me on this matter. You see the utterance of God there? God was serious. He said, Moses, don't speak to me. I will not allow you. Okay, are we together? Okay, so let's go now. What is the reason why Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land? Why was God serious about it? The first reason, write it down. There are two revelations about it. There are two reasons for that. Okay, there are two reasons for that. There are two revelations about that. Write it down, and then we will go into detail. Then we will go into the explanation of it. The first revelation is what God told in Numbers chapter number 20, verse 12. Okay, that Moses did not hallow God before the people. What does that mean? What it says? Moses, everyone say, Moses did not hallow God before the people. Moses did not hallow God.
Moses did not handle God before the people.
Moses did not handle God before the people.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Moses did not hallow God before the people. The meaning of it is, Moses did not show God as God before the people, but he made himself as God to the people. Are you understanding that now? That is the meaning of it. That was the first aspect of his sin. He did not hallow God before the people by making himself God to the people. That's why I asked you to underline something in Numbers chapter number 20. Okay? What did I ask you to underline? Numbers chapter number 20, verse number 7 to 12. Numbers 20, verse. Now, I asked you to underline something in verse 10. What did he say? You rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Must I bring water for you? Let me show you my power. And in doing that, what Moses did was, what did God say? Speak to the rock. We will come to that. That's a deep revelation. I don't know if I can cover, but I will try to cover everything tonight. But God said, speak to the rock. But Moses went ahead and used his rod, used his own way to show people, it is not God who brought water for you. It is I who brought water for you. So that is the meaning of he did not hallow God before the people by making himself God to the people. Do you understand the seriousness of his sin? What he did there? Okay. That means he... What happened there spiritually? Now from the realms of the spirit, what happened? He manifested the spirit of Antichrist. He manifested the spirit of Antichrist by taking the place of God. We will come to that when I explain you the things. What did Jesus say? In the last days, there will be a great deception. Many will come in my name saying that I am he, taking my place. So there, Moses allowed Lucifer to use him, allowed Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, which is Lucifer, to use him. And the detailed explanation of it, I will come to that. So do you understand the first aspect of his grievous sin? It is something more than anger. Eh? Okay, do you understand that? So he did not hallow God by making himself God, thus manifesting the spirit of Antichrist. That is the first reason I want to give you. The second reason I want to give you is, he, write it down. He did not resemble the mystery of Christ through his life and service. What I said right just now is very deep, but I you might not know the depth until I take you there. The second reason is, he did not what? Resemble the mystery of Christ through his life and service. Through his life and service. So which one do you want me to start with? I think let's start with the second one. And then we will go to the first reason. The second one, he did not resemble Christ through his life and service. Now listen to me. We are starting off with the second one. Now, Moses' life, God wanted to lead him in such a way that he will exactly resemble the coming prophet that is like Moses, that is Jesus Christ. So he constructed and he led Moses and the service of Moses in such a way, the life of Moses, that his life, when people read about Moses, they will know that the mystery of Christ is hidden in the life and service of Moses. Even Israel, God constructed the journey of Israel in such a way that the journey of Israel and all that happened with Israel will signify Christ as the Redeemer of Israel. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah before we go. Just shout hallelujah. Okay. So that's that journey that their life, their ministry, everything that is written in the Bible about Moses and Israel, God wants it to be a shadow of Jesus Christ, of his son. Okay? So, but there was an aspect where Moses fell and did not resemble Christ. Before going into that, I want to show you that from the scripture. First of all, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear. So Moses himself is talking about Jesus. He said, he will raise up for you a prophet who, like me, like what I did for you, like my ministry, like my life. So the Bible, when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit will start to teach you Jesus in the Old Testament. And mostly he taught me Moses as the shadow of Jesus, Israel's journey as the shadow of Jesus's life and ministry. There are so many similarities between Moses and Jesus. So we will go into that to show you that God wanted Moses to resemble Christ in every aspect of his life. Do you know what? God wants to resemble Christ in every aspect of your life and the ministry you do. And wherever you miss to resemble Christ through your works, through your service, you miss the mark of God. You disobey God. Are we understanding that? Okay, listen to me. The similarities between Moses and Jesus. The first similarity is both of them were the seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. Both of them. Moses, we know that, right? Genesis chapter number 3. Okay, not going into the scripture. The first similarity, both of them were the seed that would crush the head of the serpent. Moses, the seed of the woman that would crush the head of Pharaoh, who was having a spirit of the serpent. Jesus, the seed of the woman promised in Genesis 3, who would crush the head of the serpent. There is another seed that is coming, who would crush the head of the serpent. You know who is that seed? Do you know who is that seed? That seed is you. That seed is me, the church, in Revelation chapter number 12. So both of them were the seed that would crush the head of the serpent. The second similarity, both of them came by the water and by the blood. Write it down. Now, I don't want to go into that revelation of the water and the blood. Read 1 John chapter number 5, verse 6. Jesus came not only by water, but also by blood. He came by the water and by the blood. I have already explained that revelation. If I go into that, it will take a lot of time. So Jesus came by the water and the blood. There are three manifestations of the water and the blood through which Jesus came. One, how he came from heaven to earth. Jesus was not born from flesh and blood. You know he came from heaven. So he came crossing a water realm. When he came from heaven, and then he became blood. So he came by water and by blood. The second manifestation of it is when John was baptizing people, he saw a person on whom the dove, the Holy Spirit descended. And he said, this is the man who came out of the water. Are we understanding that? So listen to me. So remember that when Herod killed the babies, Jesus escaped from there to Egypt. He came by the blood again. And then when he was baptized, he came by the water again. Then when he died on the cross, the Bible says the water and blood came out of his body. And he yielded up his spirit. So the water and the blood and the spirit of God bear witness that Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world. Water, blood, and spirit. Hallelujah. So that is a very deep revelation. So I just summarized it to you. Moses, listen to me. He escaped the bloodshed of the babies that Pharaoh did. He came by the blood. He went come from the blood, through the blood. And then he was put in the water and the daughter of Pharaoh took him out of the water. He came by the water. Do you see everything in the life of Moses? God is tuning it to look what Jesus is. He had to resemble Christ in his life and in his works. Hallelujah. Okay. So both of, what is the second point similarity? Both Jesus and Moses came by the water and the blood. The third similarity is both of them went to Egypt for protection. Matthew chapter number 2, verse 13 to 15. The angel of God came to Joseph, told Joseph, take this child to Egypt till Herod is dead. Moses, when he was born, he was taken to Egypt by the daughter of Pharaoh. That is the third similarity. Okay? Hallelujah. The fourth similarity is, when I start from the fourth similarity, it's about the ministry of Moses. Okay? It's about the ministry of Moses. Listen to me. How many times Moses went for the 40 days fast? 2 times. Okay? Now, I don't have time to show you. Listen to me. So the first time he went, you know what? The tablet of stone was given to him by God. He did not carve the tablet. The first time he went, and God wrote on it the commandments. Okay? He came down from the first 40 days of fast and pray, and he saw the golden calf being worshipped. He broke the tablets. Then, when he went to God to plead for the people, God said, Moses, get out of my sight. I will destroy these people. These are stiff-necked people. But Moses, listen to me. Moses took it upon himself. He said, no. I take responsibility. God said, since you take the responsibility, come to me for a second time and you carve the tablets of stone. That's why it's not called the law of God. It's the law of Moses. Because when God wanted to give them the law, they rebelled. So God used Moses. So Moses became the word to them. Hallelujah. Amen. People of God, are you understanding here? Say amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
So that is why it's called the law of Moses. It's not called the law of God. Because Moses took the responsibility. So God told, I am not going to give them this stiff-necked people the law. But Moses says, don't destroy them. I will handle them. I will take the responsibility. So God said, this time I will not give you the tablet of stone. Go and read the Bible, Exodus chapter number 33, 34. I don't have time, but go and read it for yourself. That is what it's written there. So God told Moses, you make the tablet. You take the responsibility. You make that tablet. I will not give a word from heaven, but you shall become a word to them. Your law, that is called the law of Moses. Listen to me. So he went, carved the tablets, went to the mountain for the second time. And God gave the law on the tablets that Moses made. That is the law of Moses. Listen to me. Then when Moses came down with the tablets the second time, the Bible says his face was glowing with the glory of God when he came down. That is, and people of Israel were not able to look at his face, the glory that he brought on his face. So he had to veil his face when he would speak to the people. But when he would go to God, he would remove the veil. That signifies Christ that became the word of God and came for us. So Christ brought the glory of God for us. Christ is the glory of God, is the image of God's glory. Are you understanding the similarity between Moses and Jesus? Hallelujah. That is the fourth similarity. So Moses' ministry, what he did, he was a type of Jesus. He was a type of Jesus. The fifth similarity that we want to look at is about Israel being saved because of Jesus. The fifth similarity is the Passover lamb was Jesus who was sacrificed for Israel to come out of Egypt. Okay? That is the fifth similarity. We know that. So I am not going, that Passover lamb, there were instructions that the bone should not be broken. And when Jesus died on the cross, someone was breaking the bones of the thieves. But when he came to Jesus, he did not break the bones because Jesus is the Passover lamb whose bones should not be broken. So that is what the Old Testament signifies. The sixth similarity is even Israel was the firstborn And even Israel was rescued out of Egypt by the water, by the blood, and by the spirit. When they came out of Egypt, there was a killing of the firstborn, that is the blood. When they came to the Red Sea and the Red Sea was parted, that is by the water and the spirit of God, that is the breath of his nostril, that parted the Red Sea was the spirit of God. So Israel came out of Egypt by the water, by the blood, by the spirit. Do we see that? Okay, so are you now understanding? Until now we are on the sixth point. Are you now understanding that God wanted Moses' life and ministry and Israel to resemble everything about his son? Okay, and that is what the spirit of Antichrist does. He does not want people through their lives to resemble the mystery of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the seventh point, similarity. Exodus chapter number 15, verse number 22 to 26. I'm just running. Exodus chapter number 15, verse number 22 to 26. Okay, there the waters were bitter and the people complained. Okay, let's go there in that scripture. Exodus, this is the seventh similarity. Exodus chapter number 15. Verse number 22 to 26. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So there it signified the cross of Christ, the tree which was cut and put into the water, and the water healed the people of Israel. There again Christ is resembled as the one who will heal Israel of their diseases, of their sicknesses, by his finished work on the cross. That is the seventh similarity. The eighth similarity is Exodus chapter number 16, right in the next chapter, manna from heaven that came for Israel. And you know, in the book of John, the Gospel of John, the Bible says, Jesus said that I am the real bread from heaven. So the manna that Israel received from heaven signified Jesus Christ. Okay? These are the eight things that I pointed out. There are more, but these are the main eight things. So do you now realize that God made Israel in such a way, made their journey in such a way, and wanted Moses, his life and works, in a way that every aspect of Moses, of Israel, will resemble Christ. Okay? So, what conclusion does it bring it to? Where did we start? Remember, we started the sin of Moses. And we were on the second aspect of the sin that he committed. What was the second aspect? By striking the rock twice, he did not resemble the mystery of Christ, but rather manipulated the mystery of God by what he did. How? Now, the rock that he hit twice was Christ himself. Okay, now this is not the first time Moses was asked to bring water from the rock. God asked him to bring water from the rock even before. This is in Kadesh. The meaning of Kadesh is holy. Before this, it is in the wilderness of Sin, S-I-N, Sin, where God asked him to bring water from the rock. But it was not by speaking to the rock, it was by hitting the rock. Now, what I am going to tell you is very important, so pay attention. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17, verse number 1 onwards. Okay. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord, listen to this now. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall" what? Strike the rock. Underline. So in the wilderness of Sin, what God told Moses? Strike the rock. And water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Okay, listen to me. The wilderness of Sin and Kadesh, two places, two different instructions from the Lord. At one place, God told strike the rock. At one place, God told speak to the rock. And in both the places, the rock signified Jesus Christ. Listen to me. In the wilderness of sin, it signifies Christ the rock, and Israel is going to strike the rock. Jesus is going to be stricken by his own people in the wilderness of sin. And the water that flowed out in the wilderness of sin signified the blood of Jesus that will redeem the people of Israel. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding until now? So there Moses hit the rock, signifying Jesus will be stricken and his blood will be released to redeem the people of God. Okay. Hallelujah. And that's why the place was called wilderness of sin, because from sin, by the water, by the blood, they are going to be redeemed, given new life. How? By Jesus, the rock, being stricken. Okay? But now, after Jesus is stricken and dies on the cross, and through his blood is redemption of sin, now after that, God wants to resemble Christ as the giver of living waters, as the giver of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now that's why the name is called Kadesh. What is the meaning of Kadesh? The meaning of Kadesh is holy. Is holy. And that's why when God told Moses in Kadesh, he said, do not do anything with the rod. That is the authority Moses had. But speak to the rock. Request the rock. In other words, now when Jesus has shed his blood by being himself stricken and dying on the cross for his people, now when he has given you the solution, the redemption for your sin, now he is no longer will be stricken by you. Now you have to submit to him. Speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock will give you the water, which signifies the Holy Spirit. And that is the revelation. But Moses did not obey that. And in doing that, he did not resemble the mystery of Christ through his work. Amen. Do we understand the second aspect of his sin now? God. Okay. Hallelujah. People of God, who understood, say amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you now understand the second aspect of his sin? Till now, Moses has been doing things in everything. The mystery of Christ was revealed. But now, when God wanted to show Israel through a mystery of the rock and the water coming from the rock, that Jesus is the one who will give you the Holy Spirit, Moses did manipulated that mystery by striking the rock and not submitting to the rock. That was the aspect of the sin. Okay, the second aspect of the sin. Now, can we come to the first one? That he became God and manifested the spirit of Antichrist. Can we come to the first one now? Okay, let's go there. Let's go there. What did I say? He did not hallow God, meaning he made himself as God. He made what? Himself as God, manifesting the spirit of Antichrist. Now, what does Lucifer do? Do you know Lucifer is still anointed? Do you know Lucifer still carries the wisdom that God gave him? Because Romans chapter number 11 verse 29 says, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So you can be cast off from the presence of God, but you can be found still operating in the gifts and the calling and the anointing of God. But you are disqualified. So Lucifer still has the anointing, still has that wisdom. And that is what he uses cunningly to deceive people. So, in other words, he uses his anointing outside of the word of God to defame God, to destroy God. That is what Moses did. God did not say to Moses to do anything with the rod, but Moses used his rod, that is his authority, his anointing, okay, outside of the word of God to strike Jesus, to persecute Jesus. Listen to me. Now listen to me. Why he had to strike the rock two times? Why? The Bible says he struck the rock twice. Then water came out. Listen to me. Who was that rock? That rock is Jesus Christ. Okay, before going into that revelation, let me give you scriptures to show you that rock is Jesus. Psalm, because I don't want to go ahead without giving you scriptures. Psalm 118 verse 22. Psalm 118 verse 22. Okay, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Okay, Jesus the cornerstone, a different revelation. Let me keep it for somebody else. But he is the stone on which you are a stone? And you are put together to form the building of Jesus Christ. You see behind me, what do you see that? That's not a stone. That's a brick. That's a brick. Brick is not a stone. And stone is not a brick. Brick is made by human beings of the same measurements, the length, the breadth, the width, same measurements. But the stone is, every stone has a unique shape. Hallelujah. And the building of God is not made of bricks. It's made of stones. Every stone that is put in the building of Christ is unique. And you are that stone. Hallelujah. And the stone that keeps us all together is the cornerstone, Jesus, the rock. Hallelujah. Okay, let me keep that revelation for somebody else. Another verse, Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. Verse number 1. Okay, this is a very big scripture, but you can read it afterwards. Verse number 1 to 11. Verse number 1 to 11. Afterwards, you can read it. And verse number 10, let me read that. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse number 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Who is he? The rock. Okay, another verse. Okay, there are many verses. Psalm 18:31. Write it down. Afterwards, you can refer it. Isaiah 28:16. Acts 4:11. Ephesians 2:20. And Daniel 2:34 to 35. Remember Daniel 2? A stone was cut without hands, came, destroyed the build, destroyed the image. Jesus Christ, the stone, the rock. Okay? So I think I have given you enough scriptures. The Bible so clearly says Jesus is the rock, Jesus is that stone. All right? So coming back to what Moses did, we are on the second aspect of the sin, that Moses made himself as God. That is what Lucifer does. That is what the spirit of Antichrist will do. God told him, you know what? Speak to the rock and the people will know I gave them the water. But he went to the people and said, you rebels, do you want to see my power? See it now. Strike the rock once. Water did not come out. Strike the rock again. Water came out. What is the mystery behind striking the rock two times? What is the mystery? What is the meaning? Now you know this place, Kadesh, means holy. Jesus in wilderness of sin was stricken. Okay? God asked him to strike the rock. Jesus was stricken and the blood gave redemption for Israel. But now, the Bible says in Romans, when you read it, Christ died once and for all. So he will not die again. He will not be stricken again. In, you know, during Christmas or during what you call Good Friday, we see Jesus on the cross. I want to tell you a good news. He is not on the cross. He has already died. He has died once. And this time when he is coming back, he is not coming stricken. He is coming with his glory on the cloud, with the army of angels, with the army of heaven. So Christ died once. That's why I recommend people don't wear a cross with Christ dying on it, because you are killing Christ again. Okay? Don't wear a cross with Christ on it. It's Catholicism. It's not in the word. Because Christ died once. Why you want to kill? Don't put a cross and Christ died on it. Because Christ died once. Don't put, he is not on the cross. He is not in the grave. He is risen. Hallelujah. Some people, after he died, came to search him in the grave. The angels told, why do you search the living among the dead? He is risen. Hallelujah. Isn't that instruction enough for you to understand that you should not put Jesus on the cross again? Hallelujah. And secondly, don't put Jesus in the manger again. He's not a baby. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. Okay. Any which ways. So, listen to me. So he was stricken in the wilderness of sin. Moses God told strike the rock. And the water came out. Now he is holy. He is the King of Kings. You cannot strike him. Speak to him. Submit to him. And he will give you the Holy Spirit, the water. This is what God told Moses to do. But Moses said to the people, I will show you my power. And he strike the rock once. When he strike the rock once, listen to me now. I am talking about the manifestation of the spirit of Antichrist through Moses. And that is why God did not allow him to enter the promised land. Listen to me. When he strike the rock once, he grieved the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit left that physical rock. When the Holy Spirit left, that place became empty for the spirit of Lucifer to perform his wonder through that rock. And so when the rock became empty after the first strike, he striked it second time. Lucifer made the water flow, which signifies the spirit of Antichrist will manifest itself in lying wonders, signs, and miracles. Hallelujah. My God. Oh God. Hallelujah. You see, the mystery of Christ was not released through Moses, but it was manipulated and the work of Antichrist manifested. That is the reason God would not listen to Moses. What is happening now? What is happening now? Satan is ordaining pastors who would not speak to the rock, but who will strike the rock and grieve the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit leaves the church, the Antichrist occupies the church and makes the water flow still. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Do you now understand the revelation? Or we, you know, some average believers will read that. Oh, God is so unfair. Moses worked so hard. Why did God not? You don't understand God's ways. You don't understand his revelations. You don't understand the seriousness. He let the spirit of Antichrist use him to grieve the spirit of God. And when he struck first time, he grieved. The spirit of God left. And then the rock was occupied with the Antichrist spirit. And when Moses, that's why he struck the rock twice. Do you now understand the meaning now? That's why he struck the rock twice. After striking it twice, that is the place. People of God, listen to me. From Kadesh, maybe they reached Kadesh in, I don't know, technically, forgive me if I don't say the numbers right. From Egypt to Kadesh, it took 3-4 years, because technically they say it's 47 years or something. 3-4 years to reach Kadesh, that was, they were going to go in Canaan, but from Kadesh, they started to wander. I told you, Kadesh is here and Canaan is here, but they started to come southward. Southward here. And then it took 38 years to make them journey a small route. 38 years they spent. Deuteronomy 2:14. Oh God, hallelujah. That is so. Am I justifying the first aspect that Moses did not hallow God by making himself as God and manifesting the spirit of Antichrist? What are the traits of Antichrist that we see from what Moses did? First trait of Antichrist is Moses used his anointing outside of God's commandment. That is what the spirit of Antichrist does. Okay? He searches for anointed men of God and then tells them, don't listen to God, use your anointing by your own opinion, by your own things for yourself. That is what he came to say to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, you have the anointing, you are ordained. You are the one, you are the Ancient of Days. You are the one. If you are the one, you are anointed one. What you need to do? Turn this stone into bread. Show me your anointing. Jesus said, I am not going to do that. Because in other words, I don't use my anointing outside of God's word. That is the first trait of Antichrist. You are anointed. God bless you. Praise God. But are you using your anointing by the instruction of God? Okay. Are you using your anointing by the instruction of God? Because anointings can be used. Gifts, calling can be used. Lucifer is doing that outside of the instruction of God. Second point. He used his anointing not to submit to Jesus, not to worship Jesus, not to pray to Jesus, to the rock, I mean to say. He used his anointing to strike Jesus, to grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? Do you know? If you are people who have went into miracle meetings, prophetic meetings, so on and so forth, can anyone relate that some meetings you went, the man of God was prophesying and doing miracles, but you did not feel any presence of God? You did not felt conviction.
Yes.
You did not feel closer to Jesus, but you just felt it's an entertainment show where people are just spectators. That is a man that is using God's anointing outside of his word. And that's why the presence does not confirm his works. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So he used. People are, Moses brought water out of the rock, but no presence there to confirm. God is not there. God is not there. And God, hallelujah. That is the second trait of Antichrist, that they grieve the Holy Spirit, but still perform miracles. without the presence of God. The presence left and it was empty space, and the anointing mingled. Anointing can be mixed, anointing can be mingled. And Satan can mingle with your anointing and perform his lying wonders, signs, and miracles. Make water flow out of the rock. And people are appreciating, but God only knows, and you only know, that you are out of God's circle. You are out of God's will. You are out of God's word. The spirit of Antichrist. Hallelujah. Amen. See, Moses, that's why Moses, the servant of the, he was not disqualified. That's why when, you know, no one saw Moses' death. God brought him up to Pisgah, and then God showed him the land, and no one knows his grace, grave. But read the book of Jude, and Jude will tell you that Satan, Lucifer, had came to fight over the body of Moses. And the archangel Michael was contending with him for the body of Moses. Do you know that scripture, people of God? Let me take you there.
Jude.
Hallelujah. If people, you are listening here, say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Listen. Where am I? Jude. Read verse number 9. Let me read verse number 9. Jude 9. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Oh, hallelujah. Michael did not rebuke devil, because the devil had a valid point about Moses. So Michael could not rebuke. Are you understanding? Let me read the scripture again. Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So he did not rebuke the devil. He said, the Lord, you know why? The devil was standing there over the body of Moses with a valid point, that Moses took part of my ministry, so let me take his body. So he had a valid point. So Michael did not have the authority to rebuke the devil when he brought the case of Moses. So he said, the Lord can. Hallelujah. Because Moses partook of the spirit of Antichrist. So listen to me. Hanky-panky, false teachers of the world told you, oh, God loves his people. Moses did not treat the people with love. That's nonsense. I'm telling you, don't listen to them. They are speaking from the rebellion of Korah. They don't like Moses. But are you understanding the sin? Are you understanding what is happening here? So Moses on the mountain, Pisgah, God showed him, and Moses, God killed him there. God killed him. That is what I can say. He died there before the Lord. And the devil came for his body. Why? Fighting with God. Oh, he partook of my ministry. But God said, no, he is my servant. I know his heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God is not a cruel God. He knows that you can do grievous mistakes. But keep your heart on the Lord. And don't get into the spirit of Moses only partook, and he did not continue in that spirit. Okay, are we understanding that? Are we understanding that? So God said, what he has done, I will not disqualify him from my presence because of that. And you cannot take my servant Moses. He is mine. So Archangel Michael was sent there. Hallelujah. Amen. That is, hallelujah. Before I got this revelation, I was talking to God. God, you know what? Maybe people would like to hear a lighter revelation, but God told, speak this word, teach them this. And we want to pray tonight. You know what? I want to tell you, every aspect of your life, God wants to lead you in such a way that everything you do resembles your Savior Christ. Hallelujah. Resembles Jesus Christ. Resembles him. Oh God, hallelujah. And here we are. understanding Jesus the rock, and we can pray to him and he will give us the waters, the life-giving waters. But knowing that, let us submit to him. Let us not be like Israel. Okay, listen to me. Another thing I want to tell you. Israel was already disqualified. The people, the generation was already disqualified because they rejected manna. They rejected manna. Manna was Jesus, came from heaven, and they rejected. They said, Numbers chapter number 11. They said, enough of this manna. It's so loathsome to our soul. We want meat. And God gave them the request, but when they started to eat that meat that God gave them, a plague came on them and many of them died. So Israel was rejected then and there. Israel rejected Jesus then and there. When they rejected manna, when they rejected the two stones, that is the word, the Jesus, the word, by making a golden calf. And listen to me, what about Aaron? Aaron was already disqualified when he made the golden calf. He partook of the spirit of Antichrist, not once, but also here with Moses. Both of them did that act together. And you know, when he made the golden calf, God wanted to kill him. But I don't remember the verse. There is a verse in the Bible where Moses said, God wanted to kill Aaron, but I prayed for Aaron. And God did not kill him. So what I want to say, people of God, as his mouthpiece, as his watchman and prophet, I want to tell you what is happening in the current season. The spirit of Antichrist wants to take over the Moses and Aaron. The spirit of Antichrist wants to use you to do something which hurts Jesus, which grieves the Holy Spirit. Be careful of it. The spirit of Antichrist is attacking the priesthood of God, attacking Moses and Aaron, attacking intercessors. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We got to be careful. It may bring an attack on you by the people. People may turn you, provoke you to anger. In that anger, you lose your mind and you do something which grieves the Holy Spirit. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Work on your weaknesses. Work on your weakness. How you work on your weaknesses? Spend time in the secret place. I'm not talking about reading the Bible before you go to work. I'm not talking about hearing the Bible when you drive your car. I'm not talking about that. That is good. I also do that, but I'm not talking about praying for your needs, praying to God for coming to God for business, coming to God for work, coming to God for breakthrough. I'm talking about secret place. I'm talking about where you come to God, say, God, I have no request. I am empty. I want to know you. Take over me. When you do that, I told you what happens. Weaknesses are exposed. For the benefit of you, if you know your weakness, you will be careful. But if people who are in the flesh don't even know their weakness is anger, their weakness is lusting after women, their weakness is alcohol, their weakness is drugs, they don't know. When you get into the spirit exposes your evil deeds, your weaknesses, and then you are careful. This is my weakness. I have to be careful in this area. Hallelujah. 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 People of God, say hallelujah. So be careful. The spirit of Antichrist. Don't listen to this sermon and forget tomorrow. Meditate on it, people of God. I have preached and taught this group from 2 years, 2 years. and try to evaluate your life. How many of those things I remember and I'm acting upon? And you will see most of it, you just forgot it. It just went away from you, what you heard. Don't let go of the things that I am speaking to you from the Lord. It's to prepare a generation against which the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this time. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, anything in us that Lucifer can find alignment, Lord, to use us for his work, uproot it now in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray in tongues. This is a prayer point that you need to pray with me. Aramon Sakaya Barab, anything in me, start to pray upon this. Anything in me that Lucifer finds alignment, uproot it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Razab, remove it, Lord. People of God, open your mouths and pray. Pray in tongues. Abato koravazita ramalakaria. We don't want to be disqualified. Lord, not only, Lord, we, if you want to step into the promised land, pray that your life aligns with God. If you want to step into a season where God anoints you to conquer. Hey, pray that your life aligns with him. If you want to go into the next season with God, pray that your life aligns with him. Raman tokoya fazia taraba. Especially people la rabra who are the priest of the Lord. Razeti yaraba. Le se frebe rebe to andaraban sediana baraba. You need to overcome that attack of Antichrist. Razikaya bakaso tokorobo. La fraban sarafara. Work on your weaknesses. Hey, yafra. Let the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's decree and declare Moses shall not fall in Jesus' mighty name. This season, Aaron's, Moses shall not fall in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let the word, the mysteries of God equip the Moses and Aaron in the name of Jesus. Let them not fall. Come on, pray for the servants of God. Those who are Moses and Aaron's in this season. Pray for me, Araba, that we shall not fall. But we shall carry out mighty exploits. I stand in the fear of God. Hallelujah. I stand in the fear of God, and I know I should take heed and be careful and pray for myself more than I pray for other people. Hallelujah. Paul says, I discipline myself that I should not be disqualified. Pray for the Moses and Aaron. Hallelujah. That they shall not fall in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you for this word. I cover all with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We give you the praise, honor, and glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Let your people chew, Lord. Digest this word, Lord. Act upon your word, Lord. Meditate on your word, Lord. Let them not be entangled in the affairs of life and of this world. In the name of Jesus, deliver them from the yoke of the enemy. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.